And boy, we were encouraged in that this morning, and I was sitting there marveling at how many of the words that Charlie was sharing were just lining up with the message that I have this morning, and words that were in the praise and worship time that were lining up with the message this morning. And you know, none of us sit out in the hallway at the beginning of the service and compare notes to make sure that everything fits together. That's the work of the Spirit of God, and sensitivity to His work, and it's for the Lord and it's for you. Our praise and our worship comes before the Lord as a sacrifice, and not only the words of our lips being the fruit of our heart, but it's also the giving of our bodies as living sacrifices, not only in our praise and worship, but as we go from this place. And so so let's work at attaining the potential that God has intended for us. I shared with you last week about that this attaining our potential is not just being redeemed unto salvation, but redeemed unto our purpose. God has purpose for us, and we need that to be redeemed in our lives, just like we need to be redeemed from our sin and saved unto eternal life, salvation. We need to have the redeeming of our purpose. Colossians 1:28 speaks about us being complete in Christ. I shared that with you, that this is one of the passionate things about that stirs me to minister, is to see ourselves together, to come into that completeness of Christ. And then Ephesians 2:22 speaks about us being built into a dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. And I've shared this with you, that God's presence is the distinguishing factor between our gathering as a church and you know, any other social event or gathering of people. The presence of God is the distinguishing factor. And I want to share this with you. It's a concept that I want you to grab hold of, people. We are another incarnation of Jesus Christ into this world. We're called the body of Christ. God Almighty intends for us to be Jesus to this world. And it happens just the same way as it happened with Mary, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, "You shall bring forth the Savior of the world." And her response was, "How can this be?" And the angel of the Lord said, "It will be by the Spirit upon you." And it's the same way with us, people. We incarnate Jesus Christ to this world by the Spirit who has come upon us. We are intended to be, just as Charlie was sharing, we are intended to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people in this world, to give them hope, to give them something outside of themselves, for them to see that there is a kingdom called the kingdom of God, or there is a presence of God that makes the difference in our lives and can in their lives as well. Last week I shared with you how before we become fruitful, there is the pruning, and there is the tearing down to build up. I'd encourage you to get that message if you weren't here last week. So this week I'm going to start with the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Remember Charlie sharing about all the scriptures that speak about being in Him? And Ephesians is one of those that gives a lot of that, who we are in Christ. But I'm going to begin with the book of Ephesians today. We're actually, for the next few weeks, going to be going through the book of Ephesians, so I would encourage you to read through it and then draw from what the Lord shares with you, not only in your personal time, but in our times together as well. A couple of points I want to make about Ephesians is that, first of all, this was written to them by Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was actually their founding pastor and stayed with them for 3 years. We see some of that in Acts 19 and 20. You see the experience of Paul going to the Ephesians first, the Ephesian brethren, it says, and one of the things that he asked them was, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said, "Well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." And he asked, "What were you baptized into?" "We were baptized into John's baptism." And so they were baptized then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and to prophesy. That was something that was very vital for these Ephesians. Well, he stays there. He teaches first in the synagogue, then goes to the school of Tyrannus, and he's there in Ephesians, in Ephesus, for 3 years. And from there, the word of the Lord, the gospel, spreads through all of Asia. Paul comes back to visit the elders. He doesn't go to Ephesus, but he visits the elders of Ephesus, And in that, at that point, he speaks to them. He says, I never shrank back from telling you all you needed to hear, all that God wants you to know. And I guess I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you want to hear what God wants you to hear? Do you want to know what God wants you to know? All that God has for you, all these blessings. He starts out here in Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. So again, if you haven't already turned there, I'll ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And today, we're just going to go through, verses 1 through 14. When I say just, that's almost like my tongue in my cheek, because I could spend weeks on just this passage. I could share probably five different series of messages out of this passage, but we're going to try to make it brief so we can keep pressing on through this book. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Okay. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. There's so much just in those few verses. It begins by speaking about every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, the heavenly realms is not this far-off, distant galaxy someplace far away that we travel to at some point in our life or our death. We go to this different galaxy. It's not that at all. The heavenly realms is that spiritual dimension that we live and dwell in just beyond the physical realm that we can see and touch and perceive with our physical senses. There is the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm is where the Lord God dwells, where the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, where the Spirit of God is working and moving, where angels, where demons, where Satan. That's the spiritual dimension that is right here as well. So when we're talking about heavenly realms, don't sit there and go, okay, these blessings are for another time when I've left earth and I go to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. The heavenly realms is the spiritual dimension that is right here with us, that is not perceived with our physical senses, but is yet even more real than this physical realm. The scripture says, look not at those things which you can see, but look at those things which you cannot see. Scripture says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. So that's the spiritual dimension, the heavenly realms. Okay, so in that, I'm going to share with you, and you could look on down through your outline, and you'll see these things. We're going to talk about adoption. We're going to talk about freedom. All these things that were listed in here. We'll talk about inheritance. We'll talk about purpose. We'll talk about guarantee. And this is all going to wrap up in who I am and what I can expect. Who I am and what I can expect. Okay, so let's talk about adoption. It says we are adopted into His own family through Jesus. To adopt means to take as your own and acquire by free choice. You know, sometimes we have, different perspectives on adoption. You know, specifically if you were one who was adopted, immediately you might think of rejection. I was adopted because I was rejected, But what I want you to see and what I believe the Lord wants us to see in this is the other side of that. The other side of that, someone saying, by my choice, I embrace you to be my own. And that's what God did. He, by His own choice, He acquired us by His free choice and made us His own, gave us His name. You're part of my family now. He adopted us into His own family. It says He decided in advance to do this, even before He made the world. Now, this is way too difficult for us to comprehend. Way back before even the worlds were formed, God had you in mind. He had me in mind. He had us in mind to embrace us into His family, to call us His own, to adopt us as His own children. He decided this in advance. And some translations use the word predestined. We were predestined. God predestined us to be His children. And that is simply God exercising sovereignty while preserving the freedom of the human will. Now, this is something that's not been understood for all of the history of Scripture, and something that I believe is one of those mysteries that someday we will understand, but just don't yet. How is it that God can have His will, and yet He preserves or He allows us to have free will ourselves? That's what it means to be predestined or to decide in advance. So, but praise God for the free will that He has given us. He has not just made us robots. We choose. Okay, it says that we have been chosen. He has chosen us to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Holy and without fault. He wanted to do this passage of Scripture said. It brought Him great pleasure. And so then it says, so we praise Him for His grace. This morning we sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, You are the God who saves us. Da 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 da. You know, so our response is to praise Him. People, I don't know how to say this, but we must embrace the reality, the experience of true worship. Not just singing the words to the song. And I know I can get in that too. It's like sometimes I'm distracted because of what's coming in the service. Yet I started thinking about my message. How am I going to, and I lose the reality of that true worship where we are honestly just standing before the Lord saying, Hosanna, Lord, You're the God who saved us. Lord, we worship You. I think so many times we miss the experience that God intends for us with honest worship, where we step towards Him and He steps towards us and He says, come here, I'm going to wrap you in my arms. I want you to experience my presence. I want you to know that I'm real in your life. I want you to know that I've got answers for you where you have none. I want you to know that I'm here beyond what you can do. We need to experience that in worship. Well, let's go on to freedom. He purchased our freedom with the blood of Jesus and forgave our sins. Now, Charlie, when you said, I'm going to Colossians, this is what I thought you were going to. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Really, really similar to what you shared in Colossians chapter 2. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says this. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. People, we've been freed from the dominion of darkness. We were rescued from the kingdom of darkness. We were transferred to the kingdom of his Son, and it says that he purchased our freedom and forgave our sin. He did this through his blood. So now we are people who experience, in Christ Jesus, we can experience freedom. Freedom, the devil has no place of authority in our lives. That was defeated at the cross. He has no place of authority in our lives. He has no dominion in our lives. When he's trying to mess up with you, you tell him to flee, and he must. Scripture says, resist the devil, and he must flee. However, before that, it says, submit therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We are free from the power of sin. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. See, we were crucified with Christ. That list of sin, that debt against us, was nailed to the cross with Christ. We were crucified with him. Our sin went to the cross with Christ. When the scripture says that he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that's what happened on the cross. He took our sin. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He took our sin, and so now we are free from that power of sin. So freedom, freedom from sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin because you've been freed from the power of that sin. It's only when you submit yourself to and say, okay, I'm going to be a slave to sin. I'm going to go ahead. It's not because sin has power over you. It's because you allow it to be your master. So like I shared last week, we can be free from intellectual bondages. We can be free from physical bondages or addictions. And not only free from, but free to. Free to serve God and one another. That's one of the freedoms we need to understand. We have been given a freedom to something, a freedom to serve God, a freedom to serve one another in the name of the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about our inheritance then. This passage in Ephesians says, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Now, some translations, and we'll see this both ways in Scripture, it will also speak of us becoming God's inheritance. Not just that we receive an inheritance, it's both ways. We receive an inheritance, but we are an inheritance to God. And I will share more about that when we get into more of the book of Ephesians. So, excuse me, I'll just leave it at that for now. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says that God qualified us to receive that inheritance, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. So God was the one who made us able to receive this inheritance. Now Hebrews 9 speaks regarding that inheritance, verses 14 and 15. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. So again, we see the freedom that is given to us as an inheritance. Freedom from the sin, freedom from the penalty of sins. As a result of Jesus becoming the sacrifice, we have an inheritance of freedom, freedom from sin. Romans chapter 8 speaks of this inheritance where it says in verse 16 and 17, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. There's the adoption part again. To affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Full adoption. You're my heir. You're my child. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. The point that I want to make in this about inheritance is, it's too bad when people don't know of their inheritance. You know, and you can relate that to, a family situation where someone died, they have a will or they have a covenant, and in that covenant they express what they are passing on to their relation, their family. And if a person is not aware of that inheritance, they don't go to the reading of the will, or they don't make contact with the executor of the will who says, this is what belongs to you. So they have no idea that that is their inheritance. They go on living as though they had no inheritance. They don't access that inheritance. They don't make use of that inheritance. And so many of us as believers are living in such a way that we don't have access to or know about the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We're living on in ignorance. We don't know about the reality of freedom from our sin. Again, I'm just going back to the things that the Lord is speaking to us this morning. As Charlie was sharing about, you know, the reality of people have put lies on you and you've embraced those lies, not realizing the reality of the forgiveness of sins that you have committed or forgiveness of your shortcomings, those kinds of things. The inheritance that is ours is our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, and that our debts are nailed to the cross in Christ Jesus. Our sin has been completely forgiven, and that we are not under the power of sin. We're free from the power of sin. All that is our inheritance. We need to walk as though we have that inheritance, living that out. Speak of purpose. He makes everything to work according to His plan, it says in Ephesians 1. His plan is revealed, it says. There is the unfolding of His purpose to us. Hear me now. There's the unfolding of His purpose to us, and then there is that energizing of that purpose through us. Okay, so God reveals His purpose to us. What is it that I have for you to do? The Spirit of God will reveal to you the things that He has before you in your future. He will lead you and guide you into that. And then He'll energize you to do it. Ah, man, I just keep thinking of scripture verses. You know, Philippians chapter 2, where it says But it talks about how we have received not strength from God. We are energized by the Spirit of God in order to do what He has called us to do. Okay, you'll have to look that one up on your own. Philippians 2, I believe it's verse 12 and 13. Especially in the Amplified Translation, that's really good. Okay, so His plan is revealed. The plan to bring everything under the authority of Christ, it says in that passage. And this was purpose for the Jews first, but then purpose also for the Gentiles or the nations, nations that are not of Israel. And part of that purpose is to bring praise and glory to God. So let me summarize it this way, which is another voice speaking the same message that you heard earlier this morning. Our purpose is that something of God's life be ministered through us in this world. God's purpose for you is to minister His life to the world that's around you. Yes, thank you, amen. Let's all say, so be it, amen. Amen, I lay claim to that. God's purpose for me is to impart His life to this world that's around me. He has called you as His ambassadors. He has called you to look as Jesus, to be the incarnation of Jesus to this world. We need to see ourselves living that out daily. It's not, well, I go to church and I kind of look like Jesus there at church. But no, it's out in your daily work life. It's in your families. It's in your households. It's where you are daily that we need to be expressing the life of God to the world that's around us. Then let's talk about the guarantee that's spoken of here in the scripture. It says that He has given us the Holy Spirit as the guarantee, first of all, the guarantee of our inheritance, and again, our inheritance being that we're free from the penalty of sin, our inheritance being that we are heirs of God's glory. Now, there's another whole series of messages, the glory of God. The glory of God is the expression of His presence, and we are heirs of that expression of God's presence, meaning that we are to express God's presence to the world that's around us. We're heirs of His glory. We are expressions of His presence. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of salvation, that we were purchased to be His own people by the blood of Jesus. Purchased to be the people of God by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of adoption, that we are His by choice. God says, boom, Holy Spirit in them. That's the seal. That's the authenticity. The seal, identified as His own. The Spirit of God is His seal on you, authenticating His own work. God says, you are mine. Boom, the Spirit of God imparted to us reveals that. It is the seal. It's the guarantee. It's just like in Acts chapter 10 when Peter went to the household of Cornelius and began speaking the gospel to them. And it says that all who heard that message believed and they received the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, they were speaking in other tongues just like on the day of Pentecost. And Peter goes, well, what prevents them from being baptized? They've received the gift just like we did. It was God's stamp of approval saying, these people are mine. Boom. See the evidence of the Spirit of God in their life? The Spirit of God is that seal. It is that guarantee that we are His and that the work of God in our life is His work, His authenticity. Well, here's another cool thing. It is a guarantee of glorified bodies. Okay, this is something we have to look forward to. Any of you who feel like me sometimes where the body is not just doing what you wished it would or not like it used to do when you were younger? Here it says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God, amen, yes. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. Romans chapter, you know, I should look these up because I don't quite have the references, but in the scripture, in the book of Romans, it says that the same Spirit, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He gives life. Someone know what that reference is? 8:11? If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He gives life to your mortal flesh. See, God is saying that Spirit that's in you, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Spirit that caused Jesus to explode out of the grave. Yeah. Hallelujah. You really got to be there to hear Charlie roar. That goes back to a song that Steve Green wrote. Children's Church. Anyway, praise God. You know, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He dwells in us, and that's the seal of God. It's the guarantee of God that, you know what, you're not always going to be like you are right now. Someday you're going to receive a body that is completely different than what you are now. Not a body that is decaying, but a body that will live on immortal, imperishable. That's what we're trading up when we trade our old flesh, dying maggot-filled flesh. Hallelujah. So it'll be swallowed up by life. Maggots won't even be attracted to it. Hallelujah. And we're going to have the life of God in us. We have the life of God in us, and that's the guarantee for even new bodies, glorified bodies. Now, I want you to see, according to the Scripture, the advantage that is ours as a result of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to look these verses up, but just make reference to them. From John chapter 16 and verse 7, this is where Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I go, I will send to you the Advocate or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the promise from God. And so it's to your advantage that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come." And then He goes on to describe what the Holy Spirit will do in John 16 and verse 13. It says, "He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you about the future." In other words, when people say, "Well, you know, I want to be led by the Spirit," that's what they're saying. I want the Spirit of God to lead me to know what to do because He knows what's out there ahead of me. And He'll give me directions so that I can know what's out there ahead of me. All right? He'll tell you about the future. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you know, wait in Jerusalem until you receive that power from on high, that power so that you will go out into Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the earth. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses as a result of that power of the Holy Spirit. And that's witnesses both in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and also in the gifts of the Spirit, what we call the charismata or the power gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that, again, we can be a representation of the kingdom of God and the power that's in God's kingdom by delivering the gifts that God has for people. We're just the delivery person. The gifts are God's. They work through us to bring the power of God to people. And that's what Jesus was saying to His disciples. Wait till you receive that power from on high. Enabling prayer is a part of the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says that when we don't know how we ought to pray, the Spirit helps us with groanings beyond our utterance, groanings too deep for understanding. We have the enabling power of praying in the Spirit. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, when we get that far in Ephesians, we'll see that that actually is a part of our spiritual warfare, when God says, put on the armor of God, and then it concludes that with praying at all times in the Spirit. There is this enabling praying in the Spirit of God when we don't know how we ought to pray. That's part of the advantage that is ours as a result of the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us, part of the guarantee that we have of God's authenticity in our life. So I'm just going to wrap this up with saying that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. It is for our well-being. It is because God loves us, and it is so that we might bring praise and glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to release you here in a little bit after we have prayer into our interaction time, and I'll invite you to not only to the snacks at the tables and the refreshments, but also to have some good offer it up discussion kind of stuff between you too. How does understanding of this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, help us to worship? What kinds of things go through your mind as you see the reality of being adopted into God's family? And as you see the reality that there's an inheritance that you have in Him, as you see the freedom that you have from bondage to sin or from freedom from the dominion of darkness, as you see the purpose that God has in us, that even before the foundations of the world, He had a plan for you, and that you see the guarantee that we have by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, how does that affect you? How does that help you to worship? And what do you think it means that God decided in advance or predestined us to adoption? I already shared with you that's something that no one has really been able to figure that out, you know, how God can have a sovereign will and still leave it up to us to decide. And what does adoption mean to you? Consider that. What does adoption really mean to you? And how would you explain God purchasing our freedom by the blood of Jesus to someone who is unfamiliar with the Bible? So there's your assignment, along with next week. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 17 through, nope, excuse me, where we left off, verses 15 through 23, yep. Read that for next week. Bonnie. You made it, Alan. You only have 3 hours, Alan. You can make it. You can make it. We were teasing him last week. He said, I got a whole week to get to 40 years. I don't know if I can make it. Hallelujah. That's something worth rejoicing about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
One more verse.
I guess you had to have been there. I bet this is some Acquire the Fire something or other. They said, when you go home and your pastor is preaching, when he gets done, ask for one more verse. Is that what they said? Because you're not satisfied yet.
More,
you want more. Okay, well, let me start. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. That was two verses. Hallelujah. Can I pray now?
You can try.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that as we have stepped towards you this day, you have stepped towards us. You have embraced us. Father, you have given us all kinds of challenge today. You have encouraged us with the word, knowing the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, and the difference that that is to make in our lives and to the lives of the people in the world that are around us, the sphere of influence that we have. Father, I'm just thankful for the testimonies of, like as Charlie shared, the families that were affected by their spiritual lives years ago, and I started thinking back to individuals and families that have so significantly affected me in my life. And Father, I just pray that we can have that same kind of significance to others around us, Lord, so that we can impart the life of God, the hope of God, the kingdom of God, the spiritual gifts that you have to share with people around us, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. May we be imparting that to those people. Father, we just pray this in Jesus' name, and thank you for meeting with us here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed with the blessing of the Lord.